Fox Radio Sport.
Festa Maia, very good evening to you. It is Friday the 27th of November, the last Friday before Santa starts warming up for his one job of the year. Coming up over the next hour,
it's the
preliminary round of the ECAP Isle of Man FA Cup draw. Thank you very much for that intro, singer Tony Meppham. Also, could Douglas North secure the Manx trophy this weekend? Dave Christian has the answers. Vikings A are desperate to overcome Backers A in the men's hockey prem. And a big, big, big win for the Isle of Man ladies basketball team last night. All coming up here on the home of Manx Sport. Thank you very much to Alex Wotton for the news there, and thank you very much for joining me this evening. It's lovely to be back in your company. A couple of headlines for you before we begin. The Isle of Man ladies basketball team cruised their way to their first win in the Men's Basketball League last night. Women's side Hoops dominated men's team PokerStars from the starting whistle, showing immense defensive pressure all down court with exceptional rebounding from Lauren Ellison and Gemma Kirkham. Despite solid shooting and decent man-to-man marking from the PokerStars side, they couldn't do enough to stop long shots from the likes of Holly Hennessy or the almost telepathic connection in attack between Danielle Murphy and Becky Dunn. Dunn, who ended up going on to be awarded Player of the Match. In the end, Hoops took the win comfortably, 71-52. Race director Ray Cox says there will be a parish walk in 2021. Entries open at the beginning of December for the event, which starts at the NSC at 8 a.m. on Saturday the 19th of June. Ray Cox says the start list is already healthy as a result of this year's cancellation.
Of course, this year we have over 500 entries rolled over from 2020. So a lot of the entrants that had their entry in before the cancelled race last year have decided to say, yeah, leave it with us. And that means we're already 517, I think, already in ready for the button to be pressed, and they will be in the new entry list.
And local sportsman Sam Murphy has started his mission today to try and break the world record for the most weight deadlifted in 24 hours. Murphy aims to beat the current record by lifting 600,000 kilograms in a day. That's 500 kilograms more than the current record. Sam is also doing it to raise money for Movember and must be about 6 hours into his challenge so far, so very best of luck to him. You'll be able to track his progress on his Instagram account, the link to which, along with his donations page, can be found at manxradio.com on our sports page.
Manx Radio Sport.
Looking at this weekend's football now, and I've got Tony Meppham sat in front of me. How are you today, Tony?
It's good, and getting excited because at 6:30 we're going to make the draw for the ECAP FA Cup, which
is
the start of the senior cup competitions for the 2021 season.
And do you want to give us a weather report really quickly?
Well, the weather I'm hearing tomorrow is absolutely fantastic. That's good. Pitches have dried up with the weather that we've had the last couple of days. So, yeah, no panic. I was a little bit worried last weekend with the weather coming in, but no, we're looking fine. But we do have one game that's changed tomorrow venue-wise, and that's, I believe, Division 2 Foxdale against Braddon. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing now that this game is going to be played at Peel. Obviously still a little bit of a problem at Foxdale, but we'll get that confirmed, but that's what it looks like is going to happen.
Well, let's look at the Premier League. So we have Douglas Old Boys versus Moran, Ayr versus Corinthians, Douglas Athletic versus Rushen, and Ramsey versus St George's. So what's the match of the day to watch in the Prem?
Well, I think there's two important ones in the middle here, Rhian, because the Descartes Railway Cup is something that we're trying to get the semi-finals on next week, and we're going to try and do the draw tomorrow night if we've got the four teams in the hat. But there's two games tomorrow which have still got sort of an opportunity for the clubs to qualify. The one is Ramsey against St George's. St George's needs some points just to clinch that fourth spot to join St Mary's, Corinthians and Rushen. But there's an outside chance for Ayr United. Now, Ayr United have got two games in hand to play. One tomorrow is against the league leaders, who they put up a good fight last week, Ayr United, when they played Corinthians, but unfortunately didn't get any points. But at Ayr, the pitch is a little bit tighter, which may play into Ayr's hands. So, you know, Corinthians will be looking to see if they can keep this great run going. But Ayr want the points to then, if there's a problem with St George's, they have another game to rearrange against Ramsey. And if it all works out for them, they could go in the hat instead of St George's. So a lot to concentrate on tomorrow. And hopefully we'll get the draw done tomorrow evening in the Classified Report Show.
And which game are you going to be watching tomorrow?
Mr Moran has sent me to Douglas High School Old Boys against Moran. I think it's a real top game, even though both teams are struggling a little bit towards the bottom of the table. I don't expect either to go down now, but you'll remember a month ago it did look a bit doom and gloom for Moran, but since then they've had some great results against top sides and even the sides alongside them. They've been scoring plenty of goals. Douglas Athletic, I noticed one, it was a great performance, and Old Boys will be looking to get maximum points out of this game. They want to lift themselves out of that danger zone, and I think Robbie Ward's in charge now. He's taken over from Tommy Miller, so he'll be looking to get a good start on being a manager. And I think Old Boys are going to find it tough going. And I just wonder if this game's going to end up a draw.
And what are you going to expect from Douglas Athletic versus Rushen?
Well, I think you should look at the league table and go, well, Athletic need as many points as they can get because we're in the second part of the season now. As we're with Rushen, they're chasing at the top of the table and they want 3 points. Good performance by them last week. Aaron Hawley was in great form, and when you look at people alongside him, like Mikey Williams, you've got Furu Davis as well. They're very strong in that attacking line. But Douglas Athletic, again, they had that win against St John's. It was narrow, but they got the 3 points, which is important to take the points away from the teams around them. But against Rushen, even though it's on a really tight pitch, Rushen are quite clever. They've had good performances down there, and I think Rushen will take the points away from Athletic and just heaps a little bit more pressure on them.
Moving on to JCK Division 2, and we've got Foxdale versus Braddon, Oncombe versus Castletown, Ramsey Youth Centre take on Jims, and Union Mills versus Pull Rose, which is top versus bottom. How are Pull Rose doing at the moment?
They're doing all right. Numbers are good. Mm-hmm. They've had one or two good signings for them, which has made them a lot stronger. They had a good game against Governors Athletic. OK, they lost, but the score was pleasing to them. They're happy. They feel they're improving. There's a good vibe in the camp, which is important. But you're playing against a team that's scoring for fun. It's not going to be easy. So sometimes you just have to forget trying to attack and score goals to win the game and just defend, work hard in midfield. And I'm pretty certain that's what Paul Rose will be doing. But I think Stephen Fox is happy the way things are going. We're coming up to the Christmas period, so there's going to be a little bit of a break for some clubs in the next couple of weeks. Rearranged fixtures, as I say, tomorrow. Rearranged fixtures next week, so some clubs will miss out. But I think in this game, a good win for Union Mills.
Let's look at Foxdale versus Braddon.
Foxdale, again, have just got to keep going. Braddon are a side that can compete against the top sides. But Foxdale are looking at the teams around them now. And where, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, they were thinking, well, you know, we're all right here. I think there's a little bit of pressure on them to keep winning. You know, everyone's challenging for that top four. You know, Union Mills, they're going to be promoted, I'm sure. But who's going to join them? And there's a right battle going on. Malou, you've also got in there. Colby, you've got Onken, who've been playing really well. But I think Foxdale will be strong enough against Braddon. Braddon, one or two sort of mature players in there that help the younger ones. But I just think certainly with the way they've been scoring goals, I think Jay Chatwood's been fantastic. Again, he's scoring plenty. He'll be the difference, and that's why Foxdale will win.
So we're a bit short on time, so we won't be able to go through the combi leagues, but just tell me what you're expecting from the Onken Castletown game and the Ramsey Youth Centre and Jims game in this division.
Well, I think Ramsey Youth Centre know they got a tough game against Jims. Ramsey Youth Centre took the foot off the pedal a little bit, so I think Andy Black has got to rally the troops and try and get a good performance out of them, good win, and get them back on winning ways again. Onken against Castletown, I expect Onken to win this. They've been in great form recently. David Rees is doing a terrific job since taking back over as manager. So I'm going to go for Onken to win.
Perfect. Tony Meppin will be sticking around for you. Do you want to tell us just a little bit about the draw that's coming up?
Certainly can. This is the first time we've ever done anything like this. And it's going to be a challenge, but we're up for it. We've got Brooke Longhurst, who's in Kent in London, who's got the balls with him. So he's going to do the draw. We were hoping to do it by video link, but it's not going to be possible. But I've just spoke to Brooke, very excited. He's ready to go. I've got the teams in front of me, and he'll be doing the draw. I'll put the teams to it, and we'll also see how the games come out, because these games are coming up soon on the 9th of January.
How professional is that? That's very exciting.
We'll try our best.
Tony Meppin will be back with you shortly.
Manx Radio Sport.
Unconventional, but we're moving on to hockey now. How are you, Sam Spooner?
I'm not too bad, thank you very much.
Good, good, good. Let's dive straight in and look at the women's prem. So we've got Valkyries A versus Backers A. Valkyries B take on Saracens. Ramsey A take on Harlequins. And Castletown A take on Vikings A. None of those seem too close in the league table. So are you predicting anything exciting happening? Or should this be a fairly straightforward weekend of matches?
I think it should be fairly straightforward. The only one that may I can see springing a surprise, if you will, is Castletown A versus Vikings A. I can't see it happening, but Castletown A have been known to up their game against the likes of Vikings A, and there's been some close battles in the past. It's just whether they can keep their fitness going and their concentration going for the whole 70 minutes.
Let's look at Women's Division 1. We've got Ramsey B versus Backers C. Vikings B take on Castletown B, and Valkyries C versus Backers B, which is surely the game to watch as Valkyries are hot on the heels of Backers, just 1 point behind them in the league table.
Yeah, and they've got a game in hand as well. And they've also got two games in hand on the current league leaders, Vikings B. Valkyries C, last week, they were a bit disappointed. The 2-2 draw against Vikings C. But they could have had more out of the game, as could Vikings Lady C, to be fair. It was a real tight end-to-end game. This week, they're going to be going all out. They've already beaten Backers B once this season, and I think they'll do it again. And I think they'll slip into that second-place spot just behind Vikings B, who they also have two games in hand on.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to Men's Division 1, we've got Interclub Derby, Castletown B versus Castletown A. Ramsey B take on Saracens B, Harlequins B take on Backers C, and then we've got Backers Colts versus Vikings C, which is your match. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm all right, actually. I've played for Backers Colts, and now I'm playing against them, and I think it should be quite a friendly but competitive game. I think the most interesting game is the Castletown B versus Castletown A. I think that's going to be a bit of a battle. The B team and never want to lose the A team, and they always want to prove themselves, especially at Castletown. And I think Castletown A, if you look at some of the results, Castletown A beat Vikings C 3-2. Castletown B drew with them 2-2. So I think it's going to be for quite a close game, but Castletown A should win, but expect some bruises.
And we purposely saved the Rossborough Men's Premier League till last because that includes the match of the day. So we've got Saracens A versus Ramsey A, Vikings B versus Valkyries A, Backers A versus Vikings A, and Backers B versus Harlequins A. So let's talk about Backers A versus Vikings A.
Yeah, Vikings A, they've picked up their form again the past couple of weeks. They beat Ramsey and then they beat Valkyries, who they tripped over a few weeks ago last week. And they seem to be back to some level of form. The training's been going well, led by Stevie Crowe this week, and it was a real hard, intense session. So I know for a fact they're up for it. Backers A, though, they've got nothing to lose. They're in the driving seat. They're 4 points clear. If they lose this game, it doesn't matter to them. If they win it, it matters more. It doesn't really matter because they just go 6 points clear instead. So it's not a big game for Backers A, but it's a massive game for Vikings A. If they lose, they're unlikely to win the league. If they win, all they need to do to win the league is win their remaining games, including their last game against Backers A.
And let's just touch on the under-18s are playing against the under-21s in a challenge match, which is taking place on the 27th of December. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, so the under-18s are going to be picked from the Alaman under-18 squads. They're already in place. The under-21s, if there's any players that were 18, 19 or 20 on or before the 31st of August, then get in touch with Niamh Goddard if you want to play in the under-21 side. It's something that I think started last year or the year before, and it's just become an annual event. It's something really, really good for the young players that are sort of playing senior hockey anyway, but to play in their own age groups and compete against their friends basically as well, because they all train together down at the Island Junior setups and the Island Senior squads as well for a lot of them as well.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Sam Spooner. Are you sticking around to help out with the draw?
I'll be adjudicating and watching, making sure he doesn't get it wrong.
Excellent. Good stuff.
Manx Radio Sport.
Rugby now, and Douglas North have the Manx Trophy title in their sights, but there are still hurdles to get over before they can get their hands physically on it. Dave Christian is on the line to tell us more. Fast of my, Dave.
Fast of my, yes. Could well be a win for Douglas North. But mathematically, it's still possible for Douglas South to win it. So there is an unlikely scenario tomorrow that Douglas North must win by 7 points or more, and they must also score 4 tries and prevent Douglas South from scoring 4 or more tries or finishing within 7. So it's possible, probably, and looking on the game that the two sides played earlier in the season, whilst it's possible that earlier game finished in a 57-52 win, so Douglas South finished within 7 and scored 4 tries, so I'm not going to count me chickens for tomorrow's match. I perhaps think it might go to the following weekend, but yeah, Douglas North do have a good choice. I mean, both sides are dominating the competition, not by the amounts we thought they would, but because it's been pretty competitive from start to finish, but Douglas sides are 1 and 2 in the table, and didn't look like being any different really from right from the word go. They've got a mixture of youth and experience. It's fantastic to see so many youngsters coming through in both sides, and you know, Jack Shimmin, the Martin boys, Kyle and Craig Martin, who are running tries in for fun, Brendan Kelly out there on the wing, there's some youngsters in the pack as well, Alex Cartney and Tom Dutnell, so there's, you know, there's plenty of talent in both sides, and they're mixing that up with the more experienced players, the big ball carriers. Neil Killier's one, Carl Murray, the wily old professional coach who can play in the back line in just about any position you want him to. They've got some fantastic talent down there at Portishead, and hopefully tomorrow, which should be the feature game on Saturday Live, we should see a cracking game of rugby, a hatful of tries, and maybe, just maybe, the first bit of silverware of the season. But like I said, I'm not going to count me chickens for that one. There's too many mathematical improbabilities there to worry about, but should be a belting game.
Also in the Manx Trophy, we've got Ramsey versus Vagabonds.
Yeah, and this one at the last meeting, Vagabonds won it 28-27 with a last-minute drop goal. We never see drop goals in Isle of Man rugby, but we've seen one up there at Bella Fletcher. Ryan de la Harpe, it was, just when Ramsey thought they'd won it, just got their noses in front, and 3 points with one of the last kicks of the game, and Vagabonds just snatched it. Saturday, well, tomorrow's game, sorry, that's going to be a little bit more tricky. Both sides looking pretty strong on paper. Ramsey made a couple of changes. Vagabonds have two. For Ramsey, I think the signature change in the back row, Jamie Arneil drops to the bench, Stevie Neal comes in, and out wide they've got two quick men. Danny Howard comes back into the side. He's been out with injury, missed the week before last in the full game. I think he got a run on the bench last week, but he scored 7 tries in his opening 3 games, and he's a player that Ramsey want onto the pitch. Vagabonds, Tom Gascoigne appears to have made the jump. He's played in the back row, he's played out on the wing, he's now settled into a lovely centre partnership with Ross McCulloch. Those two play off each other. I think we should have a cracking game at the Murrick Park tomorrow as well. Should be another close battle, but on form, probably just Vaggers might just snatch it.
Looking at the Manx Bowl, and we've got Ramsey B versus Vagabonds Hornets, Vagabonds Ladies versus Emerging Nomads, and Western Vikings versus Castletown. Now, if you had to, what would be the match of the day to watch in the Manx Bowl?
I'm going to say it'd be Ramsey B, Vagabonds B. Ramsey looked to be dead and buried right from the start. They lost their 2 opening games, but since then they've put 4 back-to-back wins together. They're right up there in the mix. They absolutely demolished Emerging Nomads, who were joint top last Saturday, 83-10, and left Vagabonds Hornets in charge. And if Ramsey B can overturn Vagabonds Hornets this weekend, it's going to set up a bit of a grandstand finish for the competition. The two have not played each other this season. The game was postponed earlier on, and that game is still hanging over us. We're looking, possibly penciling that in on the 9th of January. So there's, like I said, quite a bit of mileage in this competition. If Ramsey B don't win it, I think that probably ends any hopes they have of winning the tournament. But if the Vagabonds Hornets, if they don't get the win tomorrow, it should throw the competition wide open, because Emerging Nomads will come back into the mix as well. And I think the Hornets play Emerging Nomads either next week or the week after, one of those two. So still all to play for in this competition. That should be the game of the day. And it's an early kickoff at the Murrick Park. It's a 1 o'clock start there.
And just finally, and quickly, Dave, how are the Vagabonds Ladies getting on this season?
It's a mixed bag, to be honest. We've talked about this before, Rhian. There's a biological problem in that men are generally a little bit stronger and a little bit quicker. Tomorrow they're playing Emerging Nomads, and Emerging Nomads have brought a few ladies into their squad as well, and hopefully that should level it up a little bit and perhaps make it more of a competition. But it's very difficult for the ladies. They don't have the contact play that they really need to develop. But unfortunately, we're in a position where we can't offer that much more, given the national governing body rules about contact matches between men and women. So we'll have another look at what the rules are after Christmas when the competition's finished. We're just about to start the Manx Cup and plate at some stage after Christmas, and we'll maybe see if we can tweak the rules to level that playing field up a little bit more.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much, Dave Christian. And with that, our time is up. Thank you very much to all my guests tonight and to you for tuning in. George Ferguson is ready and raring to do the Football Focus Cup draw for you now. He's lingering over my shoulder. And I will be back with you tomorrow at 5 o'clock with Saturday Sport Classified on AM. And we'll have all the latest results, the junior netball fixtures, two local shooters with Olympic dreams, and more from Parish Walk director Ray Cox. What more could you ask for? Until then, have a lovely Friday evening. Bye for now.